Money FM 89.3, Best of the Evening Runway. Under the Radar.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and it's now time for Under the Radar with me, Chua Tian Tian. Now, using technology to change the way people innovate from concept to commercialization, that's what we are going to talk about today. Now, founded in Singapore in 2007, our guest is called PetSnap, or the short form for the phrase patents and a snap. What the company's products help businesses analyze competitor patents, identify the white space open for innovation, validate ideas, assess the patentability of ideas, and even more. And this is done by using AI-powered technology and machine learning to comb through billions of data sets. Think over 180 million patents and millions of pieces of literature and reports, to be specific, now to help innovators connect the dots. Now, PetSnap currently serves over 12,000 companies across 50 countries worldwide, including big players like Colgate-Palmolive, Xiaomi, Walt Disney, PayPal, and even the University of Oxford. Now, it received its unicorn status in March 2021 after a $300 million Series E round featuring notable investors such as SoftBank Vision Fund 2, Tencent Investment, Sequoia China, Vertex Ventures. But what is valuation looking like 3 years down the road, and how does it intend to help early investors cash out? Now, meanwhile, PetSnap is doubling down on expanding its suite of AI solutions, launching its AI assistant Copilot early this year. But how far is Copilot expected to contribute to the firm's top and bottom lines? Now, the unicorn is also expanding rapidly in Japan with an annual growth rate of over 100% over the past 2 years. So what can we look out for on this front? As you can imagine, lots of questions. And joining me here in the studio is Guan Dian, co-founder and APAC General Manager at PetSnap. Guan Dian, welcome.
Thank you, Tian Tian, for having me.
Great to have you on board, Guan Dian. We've briefly talked about PetSnap as this company that uses technology to change the way people or corporations innovate from concept to commercialization. But as always, let's hear from you. How would you describe PetSnap's value proposition and business model? I suppose you go by a subscription model?
Yes, we do. Maybe let's take a look at the bigger picture to start with.
Sure.
So globally, annually, there are about $2 trillion invested into R&D. And there's a lot of participants in this whole R&D ecosystem, from public sector like the universities, research institutes, as well as a lot of companies in the private sector. So the research and development process typically takes very long time. So take a new drug discovery process. Usually takes more than 10 years, cost billions of dollars. And during this whole process, there's a lot of decision making in this process. And it can be very costly. So what PetSnap does is by aggregating the relevant data information that can be used throughout this R&D process for any organization, all the way from ideation to commercialization.
Wow.
And the purpose is to help them make better decisions, so to save cost and to push their new product go to market faster.
All right, and appreciate if you could take us through your product verticals, Guan Dian. I believe PetSnap's business can be split into four verticals: IP intelligence, R&D intelligence, life sciences intelligence, and other services. So what are the products under each vertical? And perhaps before that, could you help our listeners visualize the process of using your solutions as well?
Okay, and maybe we can touch on the how users access our product.
Yeah.
So it's very much the way they access our product is very much like how a professional in the finance sector access Bloomberg, to take an analogy. Essentially, it is a platform where users just log in with their user and password, and they can get immediate access to all the data, all the capabilities in our platform. And the main use cases are a few. For example, to validate the novelty of a new idea that the researcher have come up with, or to understand the competitive landscape for any particular industry, many particular technology space, or looking for licensing partners if I am a university's technology transfer offices. So you're right, we have a few verticals in terms of a product offering. So all these verticals serves very broadly two levels of users. So both on the decision-making level, so those will be the CTOs, the VP R&Ds, as well as on the engineering level. So those will be the research and developers on the front line. So let me take one example of one of our vertical in the life science space. In the life science space, we have aggregated data that covers more than 10,000 disease and about more than 80,000 drugs that's under development currently globally. Yeah. So that essentially covers every single research institute, labs, and the company's drug pipeline. And we provide the drug information, the patents, the papers behind it, the investment, also clinical trials. So on the decision-making level, if I want to look at a particular drug's competitive landscape to see which companies have which pipeline at which clinical trial stage, just by clicking the keywords of that particular disease or particular type of drugs, within seconds, our system will be able to provide decision maker a landscape of everything available, so for them to quickly have assessment of the landscape. And on the engineering level, day to day, they solve tangible, critical technology problems. For example, if I am a researcher in the lithium ion battery space, I have a question on how do I improve the capacity density of the battery. Mm-hmm. By keying the question, how do I improve the lithium ion battery capacity density, our system will, in the ChatGPT kind of format, return a few directions on how to improve, how to achieve this particular goal of this technology. For example, say, using a different kinds of material for the battery or optimize the structural design of the battery. And users can go from there and to identify the particular paper or journal or patents that describe the technology and able to understand the essence of the technology using our AI summarization.
Guandian, I believe PetSnap identifies itself as being within the innovation intelligence industry. What is the addressable market size we are looking at? And what is PetSnap's positioning against its competitors then?
That's a very good question, Tian. In terms of the addressable market, it took us a long time to try to quantify that. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, innovation intelligence. So this term is... it's a relatively new term. There's not an existing category out there. When we say innovation intelligence, essentially we're trying to say that all the market that includes all the data, use of data and intelligence, information intelligence to support the entire innovation process.
Yeah.
So the way we try to quantify this is by, first of all, looking at the global research and development expenditure. So as mentioned, it's about $2 trillion annually. And by anecdotal data collection, having conversation with our customers, we realize that typically it takes a low single-digit percent of that budget to be used in purchasing data information to aid this R&D process. So out of the $2 trillion spent in R&D, some of them go to the labs, the equipment and all that, about low single-digit goes into purchase of the data and information. That's where PetSnap is. So I think we're talking about somewhere from tens of billions of dollars globally.
I see. Okay. And in terms of customers, Guandian, I believe you've mentioned earlier as well, PetSnap serves over 12,000 companies across 50 countries worldwide. We're looking at big players like Colgate, Palmolive, Xiaomi, Walt Disney, PayPal, even the University of Oxford, which is, of course, a research institute, a university as well. Other names and institutions, organizations include NASA, A-Star, China Mobile, Ferrari, and Starbucks. All the big names over here.
Yes.
So take us through your customer base and which are the services in demand? Because I understand your subscription fees goes from $20,000 for some products to as much as $500,000. So what is the average subscription fee size in general?
Yes, when you mention all these names, it give me goosebumps too. That's what motivates us as PetSnaps, really, is to work with all of these innovative players who are making positive change to the world, to the society, that's really motivates us to keep going every day. So back to our subscription. Yes, we start somewhere from like $10,000 per annual because we have different offerings of product suite and also depends on the size of the organization. So the license fee can go up to $500,000 annually. So that's from the SME to enterprise level. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the use cases, there are a few main use cases throughout the entire research and development life cycle. Mm-hmm. So all these organizations you mentioned just now, typically every year when they do budgeting, they have to answer the question on where do we invest our R&D dollars so mm-hmm. that we can expect the highest return in mm-hmm. down the road. So in this process, they will do a lot of technology landscaping analysis. Mm-hmm. To understand the competitive landscape, to understand the stage of development of technology, yep. and the company can decide where to bet their dollar, which technology path they adopt to for their product development. So that's where PassNap come into play, to providing them all the intelligence they needed to mm-hmm. help them make a better decision. And throughout the process of R&D, usually it takes all the way from a couple of years to even more than 10 years for mm-hmm. drug industry. On a daily basis, they run a lot of experiments. They come up with new ideas, new solutions. They try different things and they validate the ideas. So on a daily basis, the researchers, the developers, engineers use PassNap to help them validate their idea, whether it is a novel idea, whether it is patentable, whether it has a commercial value down mm-hmm. the road. And at the later stage of the development, before the product actually goes to the market, the intellectual property department in the mm-hmm. organization have to run the freedom to operate check to make sure that this product that we have come out with is so-called free to sell, free to operate yeah. in the market. So those are the few cases where the users in the organization rely on PassNap to help them make better decisions.
Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at 500,000 annually, that's for all mm-hmm. the employees within a specific company?
It's okay. So the subscription fee is a combination of mm-hmm. the multiple combination of different product suite as mm-hmm. well as number of seats. So okay. for $500,000, usually it's enough to cover like entire, at least the department mm-hmm. of the entire intellectual property department and some of the R&D users.
Okay. And mm-hmm. looking at your, I'm just trying my luck here, Guantian. Mm-hmm. Looking at the people you serve, right, the companies you serve, I'm trying to guess that most of your subscription fees out of that 12,000 companies are inching towards six digits. Is it right to say that?
5 to 6 digits, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it that way. Mm-hmm. And speaking of money, right, Guantian, we really love money here on Money FM. And according to a report by Tech in Asia in July last year, citing Venture Cap Insights, PassNap's revenue grew 21% on the year to 106.3 million Sing dollars in 2022. Mm-hmm. Is there a gauge as to how things are looking like right now?
Yes, from 2022 to 2023, we also annually grew about 20%, mm-hmm. which was we were happy about the results yeah. given the macroeconomics. Mm-hmm. And at this point of time, what we are looking at as the management of PassNap is not only focusing on growth mm-hmm. at all costs, it's growth sustainably. So mm-hmm. we're looking at the top line as well as the bottom line. So mm-hmm. grow with a good control of budget mm-hmm. To keep emphasizing on the productivity of the per employee basis.
Mm-hmm. Right, so 20% over, we're looking at revenue yes. growth. And mm-hmm. if I may just try my luck over here, you talk about bottom lines, the importance of managing bottom lines as well. Yeah. How profitable is PassNap as a company? I know it's a private company, but any gauge for us just to see, because you're dealing with sure. software, AI, high costs as well, I suppose.
Yes. So last year, we hit the critical milestone and which we celebrated. We first time we became cash flow positive last
wow.
year. Yeah. So we are on the way to profitability.
Wow. Congrats. Mm-hmm. And geography wise, right, PassNap, you guys are present in Singapore, London, Toronto, Germany and Japan, among other markets. But what is the global scale of operations for PassNap at this point in time? Which is the most important market for you? Where does Singapore fit in, given that it is a global R&D hub?
Yeah, globally, we are about 1,100 employees. Mm-hmm. Very interestingly, our customers, our markets and our operation pretty much follows the global R&D expenditure. Yeah. So number one is US, number two is China, followed by Japan, Germany. So that's where our market mm-hmm. is. In terms of Singapore, our headquarters, Singapore is, so just to put things into perspective, I was just looking at this data from the World IP Organization. Yeah. In terms of the patent filing, Singapore as a single country is ranked as number 16, which is very impressive mm-hmm. considered how small our population is yep. here. So that shows global organized, and out of the out of all the patent application in Singapore, 80% comes from non-residential applications. So it means multinational companies, foreign companies who file in Singapore. That shows Singapore is a very important market for all the big international innovative organizations to want to be protected from the patent perspective in Singapore. So Singapore to pass SNAP serves multiple roles. Number one, it is our global headquarters. So all the key decision makings, the C-level people, a few of us are here. Number two, Singapore is a very important commercial hub for Asia Pacific region. Mm-hmm. So Japan, Korea, Southeast Asia, of course, including Singapore itself, the commercial team is based here. And finally, Singapore is our research center for some of these long-term research projects. So for example, our life science product, our material science product, the prototype, the minimum viable product was developed in Singapore by the local team here.
Wow, I see. Okay, now if you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Guan Dian, co-founder and APAC general manager at PetSnap. Now taking a look at the longer term, Guan Dian, as you mentioned earlier, right, I also haven't been able to find a figure for the market size for innovation intelligence, but we do have coherent market insights valuing the global innovation as a service market, which appears to look at, you know, enterprises that work with external innovation partners to access on-demand innovation capabilities, similar to what PetSnap is in, at $1.76 billion US in 2023. That figure expected to reach $5.27 billion US by 2030. We're talking about CAGR here of 17% from 2023 to 2030. Is that the growth number we're looking at for PetSnap? In terms of valuation, what will be key drivers of growth?
Yeah, yeah. What you mentioned, Tian, was about what we call open innovation. So, working with external parties to innovate for organizations. So in terms of the growth figure, I think that's about right. Mm-hmm. Actually, from our own observation in the last 20, 30 years, the area of research and development is really interesting and very much recession-proof industry. Even during economic downturn, we can see the R&D expenditure drop just very briefly and very quickly climb up again. So that, yes, in the next 10, 20 years, we are also very bullish about the global R&D expenditure growth. What you mentioned, open innovation is growing, and also companies are investing a lot of AI and a lot of new development in the drug discovery, material science, electric vehicles. So yes, we are very bullish about the growth.
And let's take a look at some recent trends and developments around the world, right, Guan Dian? We've seen rising tensions between US and China over the past few years, pushing firms to become a little bit more cautious about where they put their money and what to innovate. Now, more recently, we've seen the frenzy around AI, generative AI, firms rushing to hop on the bandwagon to come up with Gen AI-related innovations. How far do you think this will drive up demand for your services, given that, number one, firms are looking to innovate more, but they're also looking to minimize their innovation risks?
Yeah, this is a great question. I think with or without AI, the need for organizations to manage the risk of R&D to improve the productivity of R&D, this will never change. This has always been around. And that's where PetSnap's come in to help our customers. And of course, with the latest development of AI, especially generative AI, the awareness of R&D productivity, the awareness of productivity improvement in all areas within the organization has significantly improved. People see the possibilities of using generative AI.
Yeah.
And especially in the R&D area, in a few space particularly, the material science, drug discovery, or AI-aided chip design. So all these areas, people have already seen success cases of using AI to improve the productivity. So that we do hear a lot of request, demand from our customers, across all industries to want to be AI ready. So that's where PassSAMs come in, especially help our enterprise customers to be AI ready, to be AI first, so that they can capture the productivity increase of AI. They can push their product, go to market faster, which means a lot to any of these companies.
So you're seeing strong demand in that sense as well?
Strong demand, definitely.
Do you see any, like in terms of companies trying to look at innovating within a specific geographical area to minimize risk or diversify risk?
Well, if looking at the US-China tension, definitely, I think China has no choice. The government have no choice but to be self-reliant in some of the critical technologies. So that drives the overall spending in certain critical technologies, for example, in the chips, in the battery technology. So that definitely result in high demand for our type of a system service.
I see. Okay, and let's take a look at valuation, Guandian. Very interesting here because PetSnap achieved its unicorn status in March 2021 after a $300 million US dollar Series E round featuring notable names like SoftBank Vision Fund 2. You've got Tencent Investments, Sequoia China, Vertex Ventures. How have you used the funds to advance your product development and acquire domain expertise as per what was said back then?
Yeah, that's exactly where we spend our investment or our internal expenditure. It's in research and development.
Yeah.
In fact, in terms of our commercial expansion, we haven't spent much money. We didn't expand. We were focusing on improving the productivity per salesperson. However, all the investment pretty much was channeled to the research and development within our organization. Two notable areas that we invested a lot in the last 2 to 3 years. Number one is our life science space. So PassSnap started as providing the intellectual property and R&D intelligence, but providing an industry agnostic solution. Yeah. However, as we get to closer to our customers, and we realize that every industry have very unique ways of doing research and development.
Yep.
So life science in particular is very unique space. Life science is our highest paying group of customers. They spend a lot of money in the research and development, and the success rate is so low. So they're willing to invest in new technology, in new ways of helping the drug discovery process to improve productivity. So we realize that it's a very unique space. So by using the old way doesn't really solve the problem. So we had to build an entire team. Now we have about 100 people, 100 professionals within PassSnap in the life science vertical. All of them come from life science background. Either they were researchers before or they were professionals in the data service for life science researchers. So that's one area we invested a lot and we have seen some notable results. The second area we invested in the large language model. So we are the first one who built our own proprietary large language model, which is trained on the massive data collection of patents, journal papers, and the drug information. So again, back to your earlier question, to help our customer to be AI ready, we have to do this.
Yep. And I can't help but ask this question, right, Guandian? You guys are already a unicorn some 3 years ago. Any valuation targets looking ahead, and how do you intend to, of course the focus now is to grow the company, but from here onwards, how do you intend to let your early investors cash out? Are you looking at an IPO or are you looking at further funding rounds?
Yeah, we always get asked this question because we've been around for more than 10 years, 15, 16 years now. So the short question is we never really set valuation target internally because I think valuation doesn't reflect the sentiment of the market, but doesn't really reflect the true value of
the
company.
Yes.
So in terms of our like next milestone, we don't have a hard deadline for IPO, but internally, it's been our direction to be IPO ready, to be an IPO ready startup, IPO ready start a ready company. So that means how we are measuring our own performance have shifted from looking at the top line growth alone to looking at the more sustainable growth combination of metrics. So looking at the top line, looking at
bottom
the
line.
Cost, the bottom line. So that's how we've been measuring ourselves. And in terms of early investors, I think it's quite common nowadays to for later round of financing to for the later round of investor to get some of the older shares. So in that way, everybody's happy and the founders are not so diluted.
So IPO ready means anytime as long as market conditions allow. And if so, Singapore, US, where in the world?
Yeah, so that's a question. We haven't come to that stage to be so specific. I think we're at the stage of exploring.
Okay.
We'll share more if when it's ready.
Okay, but let's talk about some exciting developments surrounding the firm, right? Starting with Japan, Guandian. PetSnap made its foray into the Japanese market in 2019. It's a key market for innovation intelligence where spending only trails. You mentioned the US and China. It has become your fastest growing market with an average annual growth rate of over 100% over the past 2 years. What is the base value we're looking at for that 100% growth? What were the reasons behind the growth and how far can that be sustained?
Yeah, the base number is small compared to our global revenue. So it's in lower single digit millions. And the reason we're able to grow so quickly in Japan, again, goes back to where our market is.
Yeah.
Our market follows the global R&D expenditure. Japan has been many years number three, just after US and China. Because Japan market is so unique. So in the early days of PetSnap, we tried to focus on US and China first. But now it's time for us to go into Japan. Being a market which is very savvy in terms of research and development, in terms of IP, and very high demanding in terms of the product quality. After our product being validated by all these big companies globally, we think we are ready for Japan. And that turned out to be the case. So we went in with very minimal investment since 3-4 years ago. And we have seen some quite impressive results. That's why we decided to double down our investment in Japan. Hopefully we can grow that to our third largest single country market.
Ooh, okay. So now it's still US, China.
That's right.
Right, okay. Zooming in on your product pipeline, Guandian PetSnap is doubling down on expanding its suite of AI products, launching its AI assistant co-pilot early this year. Tell us more about the AI assistant and how it helps the company ride on the boom in generative AI solutions, and also how far is co-pilot expected to contribute to your top and bottom lines?
Yeah, this is something that we internally, we believe something we must investment. So a while ago, I was reading this National AI Strategy 2.0 by the Singapore government. It's very, very inspiring. I remember it said in that document that AI, to help Singapore population to be AI ready, is not good to have, it's a must have. So same for us. We realized it's a must have for PetSnap. So we got in quite early on, and we managed to, within less than a year, launch our first co-pilot, which is embedded, integrated into every product of PetSnap. So with our PetSnap co-pilot, we call it PetKit. it's a like a robot kind of character within the product. For the enterprise level, it allows us to start a conversation with some of the customers that has been using some competitor's product for many, many years, and which have inertia to change. But with this new AI capability, allow us to have a conversation with some of the big enterprises in some other part of the world. So to give us the chance to go in to present our solution as the most innovative solution to help our enterprise customer to be AI ready. So that's on the enterprise level. On the startup, on the SME level, because usually unlike big enterprise, SMEs do not have the resource to have an internal expert who are trained to use complicated search analysis software. By using generative AI, by allowing, giving the user interface of the co-pilot in a ChatGPT kind of format, it significantly lower the barrier of the user. So an average researcher can just take our product and start asking questions and getting solution, getting information that helps them. So that definitely broadens our potential market reach.
It's faster than the Bloomberg Terminal kind of format. Before we let you go, right, Guandian, what are some future plans for PetSnap for 2024? What can we look forward to here in Singapore?
Yeah, in 2024, Definitely will continue growing in all the major markets of PassNap. But internally, a very, very critical strategy for us is doubling down on AI and really coming out with meaningful AI applications that solves real problem for customers. Just like in the AI 2.0 national strategy document by Singapore government said, we have to get the population to be AI ready, especially in the few areas in Singapore where Singapore is quite strong, life science, biotech development, for example. There's so much room of improvement that can be made possible with adoption of AI. But unlike the generic AI platforms out there developed by the tech giants, companies like PassNap have our chance of developing a domain-specific, vertical-specific AI large language model, which is trained with a specific data, which can understand the linguistic of our users, and which also avoid the hallucination problems because all the data is real, tangible data can be pointed to the data source. So this is something we have been investing over 50 AI engineers up to date, and we're still growing that team. We're still setting very bold targets for us, and Singapore definitely plays a very critical part in our mission in this. We're really looking forward to collaborate more with the deep tech community in Singapore, and also hopefully can work closely with the government in start by getting our Singapore's R&D community professionals AI ready.
Certainly, looking forward to more collaborations on this front. Guan Dian, thanks a lot. That was Guan Dian, co-founder and APAC General Manager at PassNap. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.